I want to be somewhere with a community of people that are going to encourage me, love me and all my flaws, but challenge me to be all that Jesus has created me to be. So I appreciate that this morning, you know, that I don't want to just live out of my comfort. I want to sacrifice and be all that God has called me to be. And so excited about what God is doing in us and through us. I love this time of the year. Fall is here. The weather has changed. I know there's some crazy people out there that like the humidity and the hotness of summer. You are just not normal. And so I don't know what you're thinking, but this is my favorite time of the year. Cool weather, no bugs or gnats in the air, no pollen, you know, to sneeze, or fall is just incredible here. So thankful for that. And I've got an idea. Why don't we, is there anybody who can, you creative entrepreneurial type inventors out there, is there anyone who can invent a button that we have by our bed that, depending on how the day went and how you're feeling as you're about to go to bed, you can push it and you can fall back an hour. And if enough people push it on planet Earth, then it resets the time where you get an extra hour of sleep. What do you think? Doesn't that sound like a great idea? I mean, getting an extra hour of sleep in this weather is like, okay, a little bit of heaven on Earth. So no reason not to be here today, be on time, and be happy about what God's doing in our lives. So super excited to kick off a new series called Unconquered. And today I'm going to talk about what is your win very specifically. And so just want to remind us before I really get into the message that it's really important that we do life together. And one of the best ways to grow in your relationship with God is to be a part of a small group. We just wanted to show you a picture of my small group during the week. We call it Power Hour, and we do it kind of around the health and fitness community, but we get together on Thursdays in the Titus Sports Academy War Room. That's the war room right there. We get together and kind of go over the message on Sunday, or sometimes we work through our one-to-one app on our phones or our computer. But the whole point is that we come together to encourage one another and challenge one another to be all that Jesus has called us to be. And so appreciate that group of men that provide that in my life. And just want to encourage you, get involved in a small group, or start one. You know, I started that many years ago just out of the flow of my life and said, man, hey, we're here normally at noon. It's kind of a free time for a group of us. Let's get together. Let's get in the Word, and let's apply the Word to our life and what God is speaking to us. So can't win without that. Are you with me? When we talk about winning in life, if you don't have a group of people that is encouraging you and challenging you, you're not going to be all that God's called you to be. All right? So, Lord, help us this morning as your Word goes forth to hear it, Lord, to understand it and to apply it to our lives, Father, so that we would win for you, Jesus. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I was to do an honest survey, how many people would actually say you really feel like you're winning in life? You really feel like you're winning. You know, when I ask most people how they're doing and can stop, you know, the typical answer is, how are you? What's the typical answer? Good, as they're walking by you, right? But I've lived long enough, not that I'm a super old man yet, but long enough that I know that most of the times that's probably not true. So I try to stop them a little bit and engage in a little bit deeper of a conversation and say, no, really, how are you doing? And all of a sudden, the stuff of life, right? Because life is difficult and life is tough, really starts to come out. And so it's difficult to really feel like you're winning in life, especially if you've never defined what the win is. And most of us have fallen into a routine where we're just letting kind of the week and the busyness of life dictate how we live. And I'm hoping that through this series, we can kind of reset or switch or make some changes in our life to where we know very clearly what God's doing in our lives. And we are intentionally aligning our life to that, to know that we are winning the way that Christ destined us to win. One of the routines of my life right now is that I do the laundry in the house. Come on. You too, Dr. Joe? You too? Strong. We strong. So here's what I did. I'm pretty proud of myself about this, all right? And usually I'm not this Christ-like. But I began to notice that laundry just kept piling up and piling up and piling up. So you know what my thought was? Why didn't somebody do it? That's pretty selfish, right? Not very Christ-like. So I got an amazing idea. You know what my idea was or my thought was? Why don't I do it? So I started doing it. And I have a responsibility theme. If you've ever done Strength Finders, one of my strengths is responsibility. So now that I've taken on laundry, there cannot be any laundry not done by the end of the day. My responsibility theme. There will be no lost sock on my watch. No lost sock on my watch. And with three boys, that can be quite the challenge. But the other night when I was doing laundry and folding it and getting it all done, I was folding my wife's t-shirt, and I just thought that this was so true if we just really get honest with ourselves. It says, to be honest, I'm just winging it. Life, motherhood, my outfit, everything. I'm like, I appreciate my wife's honesty. So that's what she sleeps in. To be honest, I'm just winging it. Life, motherhood, my outfit, everything. If we're honest, how many times you sometimes feel like that? Huh? Come on. That we're just winging it. God doesn't want us to just wing it, right? He wants us to win in life. And so we're going to kind of focus on that this morning. Now, our series is Unconquered. And so the scripture, our main scripture that we will use throughout this scripture is Romans 8:37, one of my favorite ones. And it says this when Paul's talking in context to him being missional and fulfilling the purpose of Christ for his life and all the persecutions and beatings and imprisonments and the things he's having to suffer. In his context and perspective of being a winner, he says this, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. In fact, he says, no matter what I'm having to suffer, I'm convinced of this. It's none of it's going to separate me from the love of Christ that is found in Jesus. And so I want that to be seared into our hearts and in our minds over this next month, that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. No matter if you feel like that t-shirt says, really, I just feel like I'm winging it, that is not your destiny. Your destiny and your purpose for being saved and called to Christ is to be a conqueror for him. That's good news. That's worth getting up and coming to church for. Right there. Now, when I do series or when I do topics, I love to do word studies with it. And so this was a fun one because I was searching the word win in scripture and searching the word victory. And so I want to give you a couple of scriptures just to fire you up about this thought of winning for Christ. Proverbs 3:3-4 says this. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Those two characteristics which mark the heart of Christ, the nature of Christ, who God is as much as anything else, is love and faithfulness. Love and faithfulness. If we will continue to love, not let our love grow cold, and if we will stay faithful, let me tell you, something begins to mark your life. You begin to win the favor of God in the sight of God and man. Favor begins to mark your life. That's a good thing, right? And I'm believing that over this next month, God's going to deposit a whole new favor on our lives as individuals and as a church, because we're going to be marked by love and faithfulness. In Psalm 20, it's a psalm of prayer like most of them are, either songs or prayers. And it was the prayer that the Israelites would pray for King David when he would go out to battle, because they wanted him to be successful. And they knew that their success was determined on his success, right? They wanted the king to be successful in his battles, because if he didn't win, what did that mean for them? That meant that they would be subjugated or become slaves or whatever else. So they would pray for their king, and here would be their prayer. They would say, may God give you the desire of your heart, and may he make all your plans succeed. Come on, that's a good scripture right there. That is the heart of our Father. God, our Father, he wants to give us the desires of our heart. But the key is making sure that our delights are his desires, that our heart is pure and right in what it is that we desire. And God wants to make our plans succeed. What's the key in that? That we align our plans to his purpose. Because as Proverbs says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so when you say, God, give me, let my desires be your delight, and let my plans be according to your purpose, man, it's like God says, I want to see that happen. May we shout for joy over your what? Victory. And lift up the banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Isn't that good? I mean, I'm telling you, church, the day is upon us that God wants to see our plans succeed. I have gotten to know many of you all in a personal way, and it's been a great privilege. And one thing I love about this church is I've found sincere, authentic people. You really love Jesus. And if there's anything, I want you to just get an impartation of faith throughout this series is that God believes in you. He believes in us. He's got something great for us to do beyond just our existence and trying to just do all our responsibilities during the week. God wants to make incredible impact into people's lives through us. May a whole new level of victory and joy mark our lives. May the Lord grant our requests. Man, when you pray according to God's delight and his desire and his will and his plans and purposes, man, he wants to grant our requests. You ever prayed and feel like your prayers aren't being answered? It's called parenting. It's called teenage years, right? That's all I have to say about that. God wants what it is that he is doing and what it is that we are doing on earth to be one and the same. It shouldn't be a mystery. I mean, John 15, I love it so much that if you God, read it, meditate it, memorize it, our destiny as his people is to be a fruitful people. It's to be a fruitful people. And even when you think you've maxed out in your fruitfulness, according to how he uses the metaphor and the parable to describe what it is that he's called us to be and to do in regards to loving him and reaching the world for him, even if you think you're being maxed out in that, he says, no, no, no. As the Father who's the gardener in Jesus, who is the vine that you're to abide in, and you're the branches, even if you think you're maxing out in fruitfulness, no, I as the gardener come to you and still do something. I prune you. So that you will be what? Even more fruitful. That's good news. Doesn't matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, where you're at in your age or anything else in life. See, the American way is, right, get to a certain age, retire, and kind of phase out and get irrelevant. That's not how it is in Jesus. He prunes us and prunes us and prunes us for one specific purpose, to be more fruitful for him. And that's in the context of our influence and leading people to Christ. We have been pruned as a church to be what? What is our destiny? To be more fruitful. We're not going backwards. We're going forward, church. We're going forward into our greatest of days of fruitfulness. And it's super exciting. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him with his right hand. Oh, I love this. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in what? In the name of the Lord. You know, one of the reasons I believe God prunes us and deals with us and does things in our lives so that it always brings us back to a place of trusting in Him. Because when things really start to go well in our life, guess what? It's just human nature. We all do it. Look what I've done. I mean, in football, you know, you see it all the time. Punt return, right? Or a kickoff return. Guy will catch it, and he'll run through, 11 players, get to the end zone, spike the ball, and go, look what I did. Me, 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 me. And I'm like, man, the next time all of his 10 other teammates should just lay down on the ground and let him run and just get crushed, right, by the other 11 players. You know, it shouldn't be this, right? Me, 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 me. It should be you, 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 you. Great blocking. Great job, right? But we tend in that moment of glory and accomplishment, it's human nature to go, what? Look what I've done. Look at me. God brings us through life to say, no, 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 wait. Man, in the peak of your success or in the moment where I'm about to do my best thing in your life, it's going to be marked or preceded by your biggest difficulty or your biggest struggle. You know, you've heard it over the years preached, testing comes before what? Blessing, right? And it's true. It's true. Like just when life, and thank God for this perspective, right? When you start really being awakened and believing for God to do great things and pray and get outside yourself and pray for other people, man, it's not like all of a sudden life just comes into perfect order and everything begins flowing, right? That's where it's like, what happened? All hell broke loose. Want to go to the parties. Want to live like a knucklehead. Man, it's like your whole week will be rearranged in perfection for you to flow right into that folly. But make a commitment to go to church. Say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get plugged in. I mean, it's like everything in that week is keeping you from getting there, including the flat tire and the lost sock on Sunday. Right? Why is that? Because the power and purpose of God is guarded by problems. That's what makes us different. That's why we have an unconquered spirit. That's what Paul is saying as he's writing and communicating in the book of Romans. You know, I appreciate, I mean, if you just flew in, never been to Tallahassee before, and drove around the town, you would find our largest place of worship, our largest sanctuary in the city is called what? Doak Campbell Stadium, correct? And if you pulled up to the stadium and walked around, much like Acts 17, where what Paul did in Athens, and walked around the city and began to look at idols and statues and different things that they worshiped, when you would walk around Doak Campbell Stadium, one of the statues you would see is what? Chief Who on his horse. With what does it say on the statue? Unconquered. And I'm a Florida State alumnus. I've lived in Tallahassee 42 years. I went to Florida State, got my communications degree, got my master's degree in sports management. I coached there for 9 years. I love my university, but let me tell you, and I appreciate, you know, I appreciate mottos and I appreciate mascots and all those things and the garnet, if I got to wear any colors, man, garnet gold's as good as any to me. I mean, I appreciate all that stuff, but let me tell you, it's borrowed. It's a borrowed motto. None of us ultimately possess the unconquered spirit. Man, me in and of myself, I'm defeated. That's the whole point of me showing you the shirt. I'm not trying to fool you anymore. I don't have it all together. What do you think Paul said? Paul said, didn't say, follow me. What'd he say? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm like you trying to figure this thing out. I'm midlife with 3 teenagers trying to figure it out. You know, I'm in that phase of life. Remember parents who are ahead of me in that, when you're like, man, I can't just say no to everything anymore. Parenting was easy back then, right? God brings you to the end of yourself. In and of myself, I am conquered. I am defeated. Sin defeated my life. Are you with me? I've been defeated many, many, many times. But in Christ, I'm unconquered. I mean, I appreciate the spirit of the Seminoles, unconquered. Miami ain't thinking that today. Let me tell you, it's borrowed from Scripture. The only unconquered spirit in the history of the world is the spirit of Christ in us. It's the church. We are not called to be a comfortable people. We are called to find the problems and go after them. We are called to the persecutions. We are called to be a people rejected. Are you with me? We are called, especially this church. Man, we are not a Baptist church. Thank God for the Baptists. We are not a Methodist church. Thank God for the Methodists. I have many friends who are Methodists and Baptists. I'm going to celebrate in heaven with them forever. Thank God for the Presbyterians. Man, love Pastor Bob in this town and what he's done, how they transitioned their church with the new pastor. I admire it. I appreciate him. I got friendships with them. Pray with them. Love my brothers and sisters in Christ. But let me tell you, we're Every Nation Tallahassee. You don't come to our church because, you know, mom or dad or grandma did. You come to our church because one of us bugged you to get here. Huh? And somewhere along the way, that's what we were doing. We were bugging you. We were being a little bit of an annoyance to make sure that you were in right relationship with Jesus. We are a missional people. That's significant. Is you don't just come to our church because, man, hey, that's where how it's always been for me. We are a church called to reach the lost. I mean, look at my square head. I mean, do you think my goal is to try to make you comfortable here? I mean, I try to be nice. I try to be loving and hugging and caring and all that. God has called us to reach the lost. I'm not trying to create an environment. God's not. Jesus isn't. To where, I mean, you know, 3-inch padding, lumbar support, that's all great. But let me tell you, we're not called to sit. We're called to go. And our whole gatherings on Sunday are all about a reminder. It's a reminder. It's an encouragement. See, I love coming together with you on Sunday because it reminds me I'm part of something bigger than myself. I'm not on the campus during the week, but through him and Dr. Jones and others who are on the campus, I am. I'm not in the marketplace a lot during the week, but through you, I am. That's why we faithfully pray. When we come together, and I celebrate this and I talk about it because the world still can't do it. Because it's real and sincere in us. We come together as Filipinos and Latinos and black and white. We come together. And it reminds me that I'm part of something bigger than myself. Yes. And just like when I got married to Cindy, man, I was a campus minister for many years. And I had about 3 people coming for like 5 years. And I got married to Cindy and all of a sudden revival broke out. Because they looked at her and went, man, if a guy like you, who's awkward, square-headed, who we don't like very much, who drives us crazy, who bugs us and calls us and always invites us to meeting and is socially awkward, if you can get her, I need to listen to what you're saying. Amen. And we will never fulfill who God's ultimately called us to be without a true understanding, a true resolve in our heart that the Spirit of Christ in us is a conquering spirit. That we're all looking to be inspired, aren't we? There's nobody like Jesus Christ. See, I believe there's two type of people in the world. You can sum it down to this. There's people chasing something outside of Christ, thinking if they get it, it will fulfill. It will satisfy. It will be what it is that they were created to do or to possess or to obtain, right? And for like 90%+ of the population, that's most of their chase in life. Are you with me? Unless God supernaturally intervenes and apprehends their heart like only He can. Through one of us believers, not just us, but other believers in the city and all that. You with me? That's where most people live, chasing what it is that they think they need in life. Then there's the other group, the rare percentage that actually get it. And get to the end of it, Solomon, Ecclesiastes, right? And find out that it was a chasing after the wind. It was meaningless. It was empty. And what's amazing to me is why can't the 90% learn from the 10% that what you're chasing won't do it for you? That the only place of victory and fulfillment and purpose, and life teaches this, the only way that we're refined to become a better people is in the difficulties of life. It's not in the possessing of the things that we want. And so, that's the beauty of what Pastor Ben was talking about. Did you catch it? It's so easy. You know what the biggest fear of my life is? You know what it is? As I look 50 and beyond. Okay, if my goal is 100, I'm halfway there. I'm not sure it is. You know? It was as a younger person, but now, depending on how the joints, you know, and everything else holds up, if diapers got to go back on, I'll probably be ready to go back to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And so, I'm one that believes glory is better than this earth, you know, so, you know, whatever God's plan is for that, great. I just want to be faithful in what it is that he's called me to do. Just want to be faithful. But my biggest fear as I turn 50 and look beyond into the future is to not care. It's to fake it. It's to stop caring about how many people can be plucked out of hell to be put into heaven when it's all said and done. See, Matthew 25, I believe, the sign of the end times. We always focus on the signs, but there's one thing. There's a scripture in there. There's a sentence that Jesus put in there that's so powerful. He said, "This will mark the end times. The love of most will grow cold." That frightens me. That I would actually stop caring about people I don't care about. Because then I'm just existing on earth. But when I wake up and go, man, I'm actually willing to be rejected today. I'm actually willing to think about people that I don't care about. I'm actually willing to step outside my comfort zone and engage somebody else in the hopes that this will be the day that Christ moves upon them. I know I'm alive. And I know I'm not faking it. And we're called to live that way. That's winning. And to wrap up, and we'll get to this as we plow through the series, one of the main scriptures we'll look at, but just as kind of an appetizer, Apostle Paul, and all the things that he could have said to define what his win in life was, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, "Here's my win. My win is to win people." That's my win. He said, in fact, I'll do anything I have to do outside of the sake of not breaking the law or, you know, being outside of the will of God. I'll do anything. I'll become anything. I'll make my slave a body. I mean, I'll make my body a slave. I'll do whatever I've got to do to win people for Christ. See, that's the dangerous thing about opening up the Bible every day and getting in it. Because when you get in the Bible, something begins to happen. It gets in you. See, that's how we're made. We're made that every day something is going to be getting inside of us. We're vessels. Something is going to, a thought comes that's going to get into our heart that's then going to come out of our mouth every day. Every day. It's called advertisement, right? It's called news. It's called technology. And every day our mind is being filled with thoughts. And that's why to shut it all down in today's world into, excuse me, you're highlighting and doing great. Get in this. It reminds me of why I exist. Winning for me is not winning in the things I want to do in life. Winning is winning people. God, that stinks. Huh? That's why it's so much easier to go, come on in, let's create a comfortable environment and be real, a religious order of service to where we all can feel comfortable and good about ourselves, right? And in that, we settle in that, we become institutionalized, and it's so insincere and fake, and it does not impact the world at all. But when we come together and say, no, as a community of believers, I am going to come to be encouraged and challenged to step outside of myself and do something I've never done before to achieve something for God that's never been done. There's nothing comfortable about it. Jesus' first words in ministry were what? You think Jesus, read the red letters of Jesus. You think Jesus was trying to make people comfortable? His first words in ministry were repent. There's nothing comfortable about repentance. Huh? I mean, it's looking in the mirror and going, man, here's a revelation. You want some good marriage counseling? Guess who the problem is? You are. It ain't the wife. It's you. Man, that set me free. We used to do marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling. We'd come in. We'd be so knotted up. Couch, right? She'd be over there. I'd be over here. We're engagement. Usually engagement, right? You're holding hands, doing all that. We'd be this far away. How you doing? Good. And then, man, I'd have my list. I was ready. Prepared. I'm a prepared guy. I was ready. It was her fault. I get about halfway through that list and just get so rebuked. Every time I left marriage counseling, man, it was just like, I'm the worst person in the world, in a good way. Man, by the end of 6 weeks, man, we were sitting like this. And marriage counseling would start, and I was ready to confess my sins. I'm like, man, I've been messing up this week. I've been selfish. I haven't listened. I didn't say I'm sorry. She asked a question, and I thought it really was a question. And I missed that it was an answer. I mean, I had it right. I was being a well-trained man. Thank you for your Bible. Heart is a very flawed man. I want to be a good husband. And I knew I needed a lot of work. I had to repent. I had to deal with my stuff in order to become better for her. Guess what? 23 years later at 50, guess what I'm still having to do? I still got to listen to her when she comes into my man cave in the middle of the game to tell me how I'm blowing it in some area, right? I got to hit mute. I got to go. I got to shake the man webs out, you know, and go, listen. And when I'm in that place, I'm unconquered. When I'm in the place of, man, I got that. Man, it's your fault. I'm defeated. We're going to take communion. It's a tradition here at Every Nation Tallahassee to take communion the first Sunday of each month together as a church family. If you don't participate in communion or don't want to, you're free to leave at this time. I want to ask that we do something, that we all, because we're going to do it. We've changed the way we do it and got great feedback last time. I'm going to ask that you just come forward and come together, if you would, as a church. We're going to take it together as a church family. We're actually going to serve one another and pass it out together as a church family. So if you would, just come forward and come together. It makes it a little bit easier. Ushers, if you'd go ahead and prepare it. You know, for me, and let me have you focus in again, communion is an amazing sacrament that God gave us, Christ gave us in his wisdom. You know, if I was Christ and I'm not, I would have had communion centered around the resurrection, that we would remember the resurrection and the power and the victory and all that symbolizes. But in Christ's wisdom, we don't remember the resurrection and communion. We remember the what? The death. We remember the sacrifice. And in that, we proclaim it. That is, Pastor Ben talked about, our power is found in the sacrifice, the laying down of life. There is no power without laying down your life first. It's a proclamation of that. And then it's examination. It's a time where we actually examine ourselves, not like we normally do during the week or in life, to somebody else and then justify our bad behaviors. We actually examine ourselves to the standard of Jesus Christ. And it's intentionally a moment to do two things, encourage and challenge, right? It encourages us that our righteousness is found in him and him alone, not our own selves, and that there's nothing we have to do to earn it. We're the children of God by his sacrifice. But it also does something. It challenges us, right, to go, I need to be more like him. It humbles us. It leads us to what? Repentance. Because maybe you've gotten to a place I haven't, but I need to repent to become more like him. And so it's a powerful sacrament for all these things to be happening in our life. The other thing is it reminds us that we're better together than we are apart. We are one body of believers. And together, never alone, never separate, do we represent the fullness of what Christ stands for. So as we take communion this morning, I want us to remember, proclaim, and examine. And I want us to be thankful in our hearts that we get to do this together. You know what I love about you? Is I get to be me. I don't have to fake it. I get to be a guy who does it right sometimes and blows it sometimes. And it's a safe place to not fake it, but to say, help me be more like Jesus. What the community of believers should be. And so, Lord, as we take communion this morning, just prepare our hearts to be more like you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, ushers, you may go forward. What we're going to do is first pass out the wafers. And so just for three sections, we can just do one. We don't need two of them this time, unless you want to do it that way. But what I want you to do is when you take the wafer, you're going to take it and then pass it to your brother or sister and say, the body of Christ broken for you. When you receive it, you say, thanks be to God, and then pass it on. So let's go ahead and pass that.